There we are, Leafs Nation, Wild fans. We have one of your own in the building tonight. Right now, this is Offside Hockey Talk, and we're talking about the Leafs and the Minnesota Wild going to Sweden with our friend, Jesse Pierce.
Whoop, whoop. I like that. I feel like there should be like an intro song that comes in too, right? Like this little tunage. I'm here for it.
Listen, it'd be more pumped right now than the Minnesota Wild's record. Let's say that much.
Oh, starting off spicy. All right. I like it.
Well, I watched your video today, actually, and talking about the Wild's vibe, and obviously not so hot right now, and not a good time to be heading to Sweden. So I want to get your opinion right now. What is the vibe around the Minnesota Wild, and will the Sweden trip kind of be the, pump up, the escape from reality that is needed?
I mean, we'll see. You certainly hope so, especially with Ottawa and Toronto, not exactly just gimmies at all. So Minnesota, 3-game slump. They've dropped 9 of their past 11. And the biggest problem is, you guys, it's not just the losing. It's the manner in which they're losing. They have not put together a full 60 minutes, even in their wins. They haven't played a full 60. They can't start the game on time. I think you need to start telling them that puck drop is at 7:30 so they can kind of figure that out, or 6:30, however that might look. And defensively, they just have not been able to shut anybody out. I mean, certainly you look at the goal differential, which is second worst in the NHL behind those poor, lowly San Jose Sharks. And that's because defensively, they can't stop anybody. They're not boxing anyone out, and they're leaving their goaltenders out to dry. So it's just really frustrating. That's kind of the vibe. If I were to put it, there's a lot of frustration because it's the same problems that they've had since the very first game of the season, and it just continues to show up. They haven't been able to fix it. It's almost as though it's an identity issue at this point and not just an issue, because if you can't fix those things, then it kind of becomes your identity. Certainly Dean Evason and company don't want that to be the case. So over in Sweden, hopefully they get some good meatballs, lingonberries, what have you, and they can turn some things around, because they desperately, desperately need to.
Well, it's always good to escape a little bit too, because it turns down the noise, right? You're not around all of the normal humdrum that's going on. And maybe you get a little bit of home cooking for some of the guys too. Yeah. That helps turn things around, turn things up. And someone I'm looking to turn it up. I mean, a lot of people in this podcast, they listen to this, they hear Kirill Kaprizov's name, and they get excited because they think he's a guy who's going to get them a lot of points. So we look at Kirill Kaprizov, 5 goals, not exactly ice cold, but the dash 11 is concerning to me for a guy that's supposed to be on the ice creating offense and being on the plus side of things for a lot of the good plays that happen for the Minnesota Wild. Where is Kaprizov's game right now, and is this starting to affect him maybe a little bit, where it's frustrating, you grip the stick a bit too much, too tight, and it becomes an issue?
Yeah, I mean, Kirill, far and away the best player to ever play in a Minnesota Wild jersey, surpassing Marian Gaborik and all the records that he had set. I mean, Kirill Kaprizov, in just his third season here, has done some very tremendous things, and he's a lot of fun to watch when he's going, and we have not seen that at all this year. And it's not necessarily the lack of scoring. I mean, certainly your superstars, you're paying them to score. You guys are lucky you have superstars that know how to do that. Shout out Austin Matthews, one of my favorites. But
it's worth saying that last year.
That's probably true. But no, I mean, Kirill, the minus 11 is a concern because those are all of the turnovers. He turns over puck after puck after puck in the neutral zone. And it's just mind-boggling, because he is such a talented and naturally skilled player, that doesn't happen very often. And you've never really seen him grip his stick as tight as he has been. I mean, that's the other thing. Certainly that happens to guys time in and time out. But Kirill Kaprizov, he's never let it affect him. He's never let his scoring slumps really be a thing that gets him down or gets in the way of playing his game. He's a hard worker, and he gets down there in those gritty areas. And this year, you're just not seeing that. And you keep waiting for it to go. We're in mid-November here, guys. It needs to go absolutely right now, especially when he is that superstar, like I mentioned. You're paying him $9 million a year, and you want to see him start to generate things like he's supposed to. You can only give him so many excuses, and you hope he can figure this out sooner rather than later, because he is not even close the most talented player on this Minnesota Wild roster, so they need him going each and every game.
Now, before I get into the next topic, speaking of players, I am one that has been on Matt Boldy for a very, very long time. I want to get your opinion about him.
Coming.
He scored 30 goals last year, which made me happy. But he got injured in the game against the Maple Leafs and was week to week. What are your thoughts so far with him this year?
He's another guy that needs to absolutely step up. He's getting $7 million for 7 years, as Ryan Reeves shouted last year, 49 sheets, because that's how much they're paying him. And rightfully so. He deserves every bit of that contract because he just keeps improving upon himself. And each year we ask Boldy, hey, you know what? Is this pressure on you? Because he's still a young kid. He's still 21 years old, right? A lot of people were doubting him when the Minnesota Wild selected him with his first overall. Absolutely. They still had a lot of players too. And Boldy's come in and really proven himself to be that valuable player. Except this season. Yes, the injury hurt, and yes, it kept him out for quite a few games. But again, he's another player that's been fairly invisible. Another player that's so good at generating offense, so good usually on the power play, hasn't done squat, which is just, again, another concern. When you don't have that many, and I'm going to be harsh, that many talented forwards on your team, the ones that do have even an iota of talent need to be going. And Matt Boldy's one of those, so he's another player that needs to kind of figure it out and needs to find his game sooner rather than later.
Absolutely. So I know that this was kind of, I think it was more or less the topic heading into this season was your goaltender situation. And as one that's mostly in fantasy hockey, a lot of people were very high on Filip Gustavsson. Now he came from Ottawa. Did you expect high expectations going into the season for him? And obviously Fleury speaks for himself. He's now, I think, third all time in saves. So shout out to him. Do you think it's still a 1A, 1B situation, or what are your thoughts on the goalie situation?
Father time waits for no man, Dilly.
Did you see the way that he was sprawling out, though, the other night against Dallas? Like, it was unreal. Like, my 36-year-old body can't move like that. I don't know how his 38-year-old body can stand up for that, but Marc-Andre Fleury will do it. One of my absolute favorite players 100%. To have covered, no question. Just the sweetest human being who loves the game of hockey. So let's start with Filip Gustavsson. So Gus signed his 3-year extension, avoided arbitration, right? Last year, he did absolutely fantastic. Toward that ending stretch of the season, he was up there with Jeremy Swayman and Linus Ullmark in save percentage and all of that, goals against average, all those good stats. And that's because he got the opportunity. He earned the opportunity. He never was given a chance in Ottawa. This year, he came into camp more in shape. That was Bill Guerin's big question, because he couldn't carry that workload last year because he was a little bit out of shape. Obviously, you think Marc-Andre Fleury can do it. But this year, they came in kind of thinking Gus would be your 1A, Fleury would be your 1B. The problem is Gus has kind of come back down to human earth. And some of the goals that he's allowing are ones that he needs to be stopping. Remember that defense I told you guys about, the one that sucks? Yeah, it's also not great when you have goalies who are letting in soft goals. And that's a lot of Gus's. And Marc-Andre Fleury, actually, I think, has played fairly well thus far. He's made some really timely saves, some big saves when he needs to. Again, going back to the recency of Dallas, where they absolutely trounced Minnesota. Fleury, though, made some big stops. I mean, that game could have easily gotten out of hand had he not made the save. So I don't know if it's still necessarily a 1A, 1B. I think it's literally whoever's going on any given night. I think they'll give probably Gus the game against Ottawa, just because there's the storylines there. It's an easy narrative. And then you get probably Flower against the Maple Leafs, but we'll see. I mean, again, Gus has not been great as of late, so you kind of want to ride a hot hand and get those wins right away when you get there. But I like Fleury against Toronto over Gus personally.
Of course. Yeah, well, Marc-Andre Fleury is kind of accustomed to the big name game, if you want to put it that way. And what bigger than William Nylander in Sweden, right now, especially with him rolling on a 15-game point streak. It would be great to see the Flower shut him down on the Minnesota Wild side of things, and obviously for the Maple Leafs, for Willie to spark it up. I look at the two goaltenders, though, and the thing that jumps off the page to me the most, not just the save percentage, but the goals against, the 4.64 and the 3.41, both goaltenders. Usually you can find a little saving grace maybe with one of the goaltenders, where one of the stats is a little bit more baseline, and it's the guy you want to roll with. But right now, both are looking pretty close to in save percentage, in an 8.79 and an 8.72. The turn it around would be, I don't know, a big talking point. And I say this, what does Guerin have to do here for these guys? Because not just for them, but for the whole team. Because obviously we remember the buyouts for Parise and Suter really handcuffing this squad. But then now you look at the defense and say, hey, you could really use maybe a kind of shutdown guy like Ryan Suter, even in his limited role with Dallas and stuff. That would be something they might be able to use. Just saying, I'm wondering for you, what does Guerin need to do here? Just spin this around and really fix it for the Minnesota Wild, who a lot of people thought would be a team on the roll this year.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Suter gets booed every time he touches the puck or anything in Minnesota now, which I feel bad because he gets that in Nashville too, I think, still. So it's just kind of the Suter effect. But he's still a very capable defenseman, no question about that. Bill Guerin can't do anything. Unfortunately, that's kind of the problem that you're facing. Yeah. Everybody's heard about it. They are broke. Broke. They did recall Damon Hunt for the trip over to Sweden, a defenseman who looked really good in the couple glimpses that we've seen. He wasn't noticeable, which for me, in a young defenseman, I really, really appreciate. And obviously, they shipped out Kalen Addison because they didn't have faith in his defensive ability. But my bigger concern are the Jake Middletons and even Jarrett Spurgeon. Jarrett Spurgeon just returning, right? I love Jake Middleton as a person, but my God, he's killing me.
His brother sat beside me in English class. So I'm actually like, very
love them.
They look nothing alike, too. What is that about?
I don't know what that is about. Right? No idea.
Yeah, he was up. He was in the press box when they played here. That I forget because who's his brother play for?
He plays for Colorado, I think.
Is it called? Yeah, that sounds right. Preseason game. That makes sense. Yes. So yeah, I was like that. That's not Jake Middleton's brother. Like they don't look a thing alike.
Their size is very similar, just their hair color is not anything alike.
And I think they play a similar style, right? They do. I think they're both pretty
feisty. Very, very big. Yeah, I remember sitting in like a classroom. He would just practice his signature all the time. That's the only thing I really remember.
I'm going to be famous, man.
Yeah.
This will be worth something someday. Teach, keep it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But no, he's been struggling. You haven't been able to get him going. Brock Faber, I think, is the best defenseman that Minnesota has. And, you know, it's sad. He's the youngest player on the team. For him to be your best performer is not okay. Jonas Brodin, who generally is your constant, struggling a little bit. And your bottom two, Dakota Mermis is what he is. But then you've got John Merrill as another option. So it's not great, guys. It's not great is what I'm trying to say. And again, Bill Guerin can't do anything. He tried to shake it up a little bit by tossing Addy out to San Jose and bringing in Zach Bogosian, which... sure, it gives you size, but I don't love it. But again, it's one of those situations.
That is something you guys aren't struggling with, his size, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, that's what Dean loves. Dean Evason loves him, the type of player that he was, that gritty physical style, which would be fine if you didn't draw a penalty and then be forced to kill that or not kill it, which the Minnesota Wild tend to not do. So
at least say hello as well, so don't worry. Yeah.
Five power play goals and two shorthanded goals the other night. Just brutal.
But I look at this team, and I mean, obviously there are some names that can do some things. For you, who is a guy right now that you would say is struggling but has the biggest potential to break out, whether it be, you know, Boldy rebounding or Rossi or, hell, even Big Rig himself, Patty Maroon, maybe sparking the squad and scoring some goals, and just the way that he chirps on the ice obviously gets everybody's attention too. But who is a player do you think could be a breakout guy that might turn the tide for this squad? Because you can talk about Kaprizov, but we all know what he can do and probably will do. But there's got to be more than just him beating the drum.
Yeah, I mean, I've loved Marco Rossi's game, and I was one of those that certainly had a big question mark on him. I never was ready to call him quite a bust. He was selected 9th overall by Minnesota, so he had a lot of high expectations coming in, especially because the Wild – are and have been so desperate for some up the middle depth, right? They have no centers. They don't. Ryan Hartman is not a number one center in any grand scheme of the world, right? You guys, like, so Rossi's supposed to be that guy. He is going to be up with Kaprizov and Boldy, so that line gets reunited for the first time in some time, which is going to be a lot of fun. But he's a guy that
moved into that lineup. That's beautiful to see, actually.
That's something that they don't ever do. Like, you have talent in your Minnesota for how many years has been touted as the top prospect pool, and you sign some older players to extensions that it's like, well, now those kids are never going to play. I have feelings, guys. I have feelings about it, but I know, right? But I think Rossi's one, and then Joel Eriksson-Ek too, because when Joel Eriksson-Ek is going, he's going. You saw how much of an impact he can have on this team when he was absent from the playoffs last year. I mean, the dude's an absolute machine. He can rile the opposition up. He's got fantastic net front presence, and he can stick handle really well too. So, I mean, he's a guy that I believe, is the leading scorer right now as far as goals go, which doesn't say a lot because, again, the goals are not necessarily coming from Minnesota. But if he can even turn that up a little bit, I would love, love, love to see Mr. Eriksson-Ek get going in Sweden, in his home country, in fact.
Yes, that'd be beautiful.
It's not bad to see him leading the team in points, obviously, points. But you want to see another name up there too. Ryan Hartman, though, not doing too bad, actually.
No, he's not.
11 points in 15 games. He's helped my fantasy team a couple times, so I'll give him a tip of the cap. We talk about that a lot on here. But something we do talk about a lot, too, is our friends over at DraftKings. We're partnered up with the Hockey Podcast Network, so we slide in the THPN code when you go over to DraftKings because you can bet the action on the ice with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use the code THPN. New customers get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on hockey. That's code THPN only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. The crown is yours. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. If you've got a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for your problem gambling. Call 877-89-777 or visit ccp.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire again 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility, deposit restriction, terms, and responsible gambling resources. So there you go. Get over to DraftKings, use the code THPN, and have some fun betting on the games like the ones that'll be happening over in Sweden. Now, we talked about it off the hop, maybe Sweden being a good place to hit the reset button. We got four teams going over there, a couple of teams with dark clouds over them right now, Minnesota and Ottawa, obviously, with everything surrounding Michael Andlauer and the team. I want to know for you, what team comes out of Sweden smelling more like roses and feeling more like it's been a vacation than a detriment to travel that far?
You guys know the answer. You know who the best team is over there. Come on now.
The Detroit Red Wings.
Oh, no. Although, you know what? I'm curious to check in on them. I haven't been paying much attention, but I keep hearing, like I hear every season, that, oh, this is their year. This is the year that they get better. But I'm like, I'm sure they're not.
Listen, no, I mean, teams always start hot. I want to see a full 82 games of consistency because the Buffalo Sabres at one point in life were one of the hottest teams in the NHL. I think it was 3 years ago, 10-game winning streak, leaps and bounds above everyone. And then all of a sudden, we all know, they didn't win a game for, I think it was 31 games after that.
Yeah.
So
Columbus Blue Jackets, 14-game winning streak once upon a time. Same one as the Minnesota Wild. And they beat the Wild. Terrible.
Damn.
Yeah. All right. Then mediocrity.
Yeah. No, Toronto, I think, without question. I mean, I just – Minnesota, as you said, that dark cloud. I had even asked Dean Evson today. I'm like, how do you – go over there and have quote unquote fun knowing that you're playing
the video and the quote I've seen,
poorly. Yeah. Like it's just, you can't. And so they know that the points are more important. I mean, I'm sure there'll be some relaxing. Again, there's four Swedish players on the Minnesota Wild roster. Actually, Jesper Wellstead is also joining them. So five, but it's going to be Toronto. Have fun, Toronto. Hope you enjoy it. I'm sure it's going to be fantastic for you. Nice little walk in the Swedish park.
I would say, and listen here, I'm a diehard Leaf fan, and I still think there's going to be challenges, obviously, even playing Minnesota. Like I said, Flower likes to play in big spotlight games and, you know, stand on his head and do some crazy things. And what better way with a lot of eyes on you to rebound your team than have Kaprizov have a big game, Hartman do a big game? You know, I'm going to spin it over the Minnesota Wild ways. I talk about the Leafs all the time. There's many ways that Minnesota can come out of this and just maybe revitalize their season here. Come out with two wins, come back home, everything's smelling like roses. Everybody gets slump bumps, and away they go.
And then they play Colorado. Yep. Nope, you're right. That's going to be great. Then you get the Avs back at home. It's good. It's going to be a good year. It's a fun year. Love it.
Listen, I'm trying to steer the ship to positive waters here.
I try. Oh. I tried that for 14 games, and they broke me again last night. The Vikings break me every year. They're the new championship team in town. So,
well, let's talk about the Minnesota Wild playing the Toronto Maple Leafs. Obviously, the Maple Leafs had some issues of their own as of late, but this week, 3-1, not too shabby. They're starting to roll a little bit. I don't know how much you've dabbled in looking at the Maple Leafs, but this is a team that had very high expectations, brought in a lot of the snot that we were talking about Minnesota having and the size and guys like Bertuzzi and Reeves, Domi to some degree, but it really wasn't working until what they did this week, which was sit Reeves and bring in younger guys like Robertson, like you're talking about Minnesota should do, and that third line finally clicked. I'm wondering what your 30,000-mile away view looks like for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like, what do you think of this team? And really, I mean, what do people think of Toronto outside of the market? Usually we're the most hated team, but give me something good. I've been patting the back of Minnesota all night long.
Hey, so. I love me some Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm not even ashamed to say that they are my probably tied for. I do love Vancouver. I have this affinity for Vancouver. I don't know why. Maybe because Minnesota beats up on them all the time that it's like, oh, they're just kind of this cute little guy over over there. But Mitch Marner is probably my favorite player in the league. I just love everything about him. I wish he got a little bit more praise. I feel like your Toronto media doesn't love on him maybe as much as he should get. But I like him. I think you guys are good. You are a favorite. I always feel terrible when you guys get bounced in the first round like the Minnesota Wild because you actually deserve to move on. Yep. And you did last year, so that's good. That's honest. I find it great that you kind of benched Ryan Reeves. It's funny because I know you guys were a little bit upset after Revo didn't atone for a nasty hit on one of your guys the other night. Did the same thing in Minnesota when Kirill Kaprizov was injured in the Winnipeg Jets game. There was never anything. So Ryan Reeves, fantastic quote. Hockey's kind of passed him by, I think, at this point. And so I'm excited. I'll cheer for you guys. Like I said, I always enjoy it. Even when the massive amount of media comes to town with the Maple Leafs, where I can barely get in there and get my questions, it's always a good time. And I just one shout out to John Klingberg. Thank you for taking him off of our hands. We really, really appreciate it.
Here you go. I want to ask you about those two players because obviously both ties to Minnesota. But let's start with Ryan Reeves first because for me, I was excited the first two games of the season. He fought in both games. He stood up for his teammates. Everybody else on the ice rallied around the rest of the game. It looked like it was going to be what the Leafs needed. Someone in there to actually have a rallying cry and just fire the guys up, a la Wayne Simmonds, you know, Zach Hyman when he was here, Nazem Kadri. Saw some of these guys who actually would spark the bench and be like, come on, let's go. And it looked like for the first two games, that's the way it was going to be. And then after that, it went radio silent and there was some questionable hits, the Marchand one on Lilligren. This week there was even more. And it's just he's talking from the bench, but he's not going on the ice and even just rattling someone's cage. Just it doesn't have to be the guy who threw the hit, but there's nothing there from him. You're saying that was the thing that happened in Minnesota as well. So is that what we have now to enjoy for the next 3 years? Is here and there Ryan Reeves, not everyday Ryan Reeves?
Dylan, what do you think the problem is? I heard you were going to say something.
So he talks the talk, but I want to see him walk the walk. He said that, oh, if you're going to go after my big dogs, I'm going to go after your big dog. So he should have went after Pastrnak in a sense, in my opinion, in that game. Yep. Like if that's how you want to talk the talk, then walk the walk and do it. He did go and fight in the first few games. Like he fought Foligno in Minnesota there, but I don't know. It's
Freddie Gaudreau still hurt, by the way. So there's that as well. Revo?
Yeah, it was
if
Revo.
If you want to
yeah.
back up your words, just initiate a fight. That's all my thoughts are about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because when they brought in Ryan Reeves, it kind of made everybody scratch their head last year for Minnesota. That was about November, December, if I'm not wrong. But they didn't bring him in necessarily for the physicality because, as you mentioned, we have a Marcus Foligno. We've got Brandon Duhaime down there, too. I mean, that's never been an issue for them. But they brought him in for the personality. They just needed some uplifting because, again, Minnesota started out very similar to how they are this year, except they're somehow even worse this year in their starts. Anyway, but Ryan Reeves didn't do a whole lot for me all season. Yes, again, quote machine. And I love that as a writer. That's so much fun. And he did definitely lift up the spirits. Like certainly things changed for Minnesota. Once they brought Ryan Reeves in, his character kind of took over the room and changed everything. But I don't think that was Ryan Reeves' play on the ice. He managed to tuck in a couple goals too after he was chirped by some peewees at a hockey rink here. So that was nice. But yeah, the fact that he didn't use his physicality when he absolutely needed to come playoffs, come right before the playoffs, it was just kind of frustrating to see. So no real love lost there when he moved on. But yeah, he's just kind of there again. Great from a media perspective. For a team. I mean, I know his teammates adore him and they should, but as far as play wise, he's a dime a dozen almost out there.
Yeah, I think the biggest plus is that he's taken the the hot iron off of Matthews and Marner and sure. brought the media over to him. I joked about, is the media really just going to him for quotes, or are they going over to him because he's shirtless in the locker room? He seems like he's doing that all the time.
You guys don't do the tarps off? Minnesota, we go tarps off during all of our intermission interviews. It's a cool thing we do here.
I don't know if they do or not. I'm not in the locker room.
Got to get it started. Let them know and get it started.
There you go. Just drop a little line. Hey, this is what we're doing tonight, guys. Get it done.
Tarps off.
The other guy for me is John Klingberg. I look at him, and again, the Leafs had a problem last year, and that was moving their puck out of the zone. And, you know, just getting things going was a problem. And Morgan Rielly had a big issue with that and didn't score any points for a while for the Maple Leafs. And they brought in John Klingberg this year to kind of help take the pressure off of him, run the first power play a little bit, do these things. But again, he is looking like a guy who's a shell of a shell of a shell of himself from seasons past. And now there's rumblings of this hip injury, and maybe he might need to go for the surgery to get it resurfaced. And, you know, maybe he's this, maybe he's that. What is your opinion on John Klingberg? And should we just throw the number three out in Toronto, because now it's Phaneuf, Hall, and now Klingberg. And they all seem to have the same issue of being a lightning rod for criticism by Maple Leaf fans in number three.
The fact that you guys hated Justin Hall so much, I feel so. He's a good old Minnesota boy. Kid just couldn't win there. You know what I mean?
I didn't hate Justin Hall. My issue with Justin Hall was the 5-minute muffin.
Yep.
At the near the end of the period or the last 5 minutes of the game, he'd serve up a muffin along the boards and the other team would scoop it up, either tie the game or go ahead. That's and that was my only issue with Justin Hall. Other than that, he was great with the stick, great with blocking shots, and great picking up for his teammates.
That's fair. No, the biggest problem with John Klingberg is he can't play defense, which is an extra big problem when you're a defenseman. He was terrible. I don't use the word hate very often, hated everything about having him here in Minnesota. He was a liability on the ice defensively. It was brutal to watch. So when he went to Toronto, I was like, huh, that'll be interesting, because I knew you guys were kind of in a need for some good defensemen. I was like, and you guys hated Justin Hall. This guy's not going to do anything. I think there was that allure, right, that Klingberg can play offense. He can break out of the zone. He's got some clean entries. He can do those things. But again, can't play defense. And he made more mistakes than he could ever cover up. Like, it was, you couldn't pair him with anybody that was good enough to stay back and help with that.
Seems to be the biggest problem, because he just puts his partners in bad situations, and you're just like, come on, dude. Like, just tighten up a little bit. Smarten up.
Well, for me, it's the stiffening up, too. Like, on the play against Ottawa, he's in the front of the net. He could very easily take the guy beside him, but he just kind of, like, standing there like, oh, look, there's a hockey game.
You know? Exactly. Like, he'd watch guys score all the time, and we're like, what are you doing? Like, why are you on the ice? Like, it was beyond frustrating. Again, it was just, I was – one very, very happy to see him go. I kept hoping that you would get like the Dallas John Klingberg, right? Like the old good John Klingberg. And I think those days are far, far behind him, because he is just seeing him perform, if possible, even worse in Toronto. I feel for you. I really, really do.
I'm really wishing he would have took that deal. I think that Dallas offered him at one point in life. And what was it, the 7x7 or something?
Yes. Yeah, right?
I wish you would have taken that. Now we could have used the money that is owed to him for somebody else. I don't know, like a Patty Kane, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, there it is.
Ultimately, I just see him as a fourth forward, kind of, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Right. I see him as a guy who needs to be in the press box with popcorn. Mm-hmm. That's it. That is it for me for him, because I just don't understand what value he brings. Like, we're talking about Ryan Reeves, but same thing with Klingberg. If you're not advancing the puck and you're not doing good on the power play, and you're watching guys go by you like you're a turnstile at an airport, I don't need you in my lineup. I need you to be parked.
Wasn't Timmins on the power play in practice today?
Timmins was in a regular jersey and ready to go. So I'm still under the allure, the suspicion, whatever you want to call it, that when the Leafs come back from Sweden, John Klingberg will be on the LTIR.
Because he's on practice today. That'd be convenient, wouldn't it?
Well, I think they're already setting it up. They may miss a one game. Oh, he's got a hip injury. Oh, he came back miraculously and played okay on Saturday. And now he's not at practice again. I think they're trying to, like, pave that road. Then he'll probably play maybe one or two games in Sweden. And then, he's too banged up to go the rest of the year, guys. We got to put him on the LTIR. $4 million cap space. Let's go.
Yeah. That was the Alex Goligoski play here, let me tell you. Love Goose, sweetheart, good. Love the swan song of coming home and playing for Minnesota. Oof, he got tough to watch there. And all of a sudden it was like press box, LTIR. Like, all right, there it is. There's another 1.2 that they
We make the joke here because of Robida Island, right? That's where guys are going. The boat's coming up to shore. You got to get on. He'll be on that boat sailing over to hang out with Leafs great Matt Murray and Robida and Lupul. And it's getting populated at least. It's guys to hang out with. It's going to be fun this week. Do you guys have anything set up for yourselves for your show or anything like that for the Minnesota Wild going over playing Sweden, doing a watch along or anything special for this weekend?
You know, we probably should have, but nah, we're going to enjoy the time away. I am following that team enough. I'll wake up, you know, hot brunch and hockey go together so tremendously well. So that sounds like a good plan for Saturday and Sunday, right? Just kick it off with some mimosas, maybe a bloody beer.
Mimosas and hockey. Why not?
Right. Like let's go. I do it for the Olympics usually. So we'll just turn that around. But no good stuff. We got a new episode coming out tomorrow where we break down even more of the Minnesota Wild's struggle fest, and that's about it.
Listen, there's only one way to go, and that's up for the Minnesota Wild. But if you haven't already, check out the Bar Down Beauties podcast. They're absolutely awesome. Jesse, I want to thank you very much for taking the time with us again. I did this on short notice. I reached out and she's like, yeah, let's go, and it's amazing. So I appreciate having you on, and hopefully we can get you back on towards maybe the mid part or the end part of the season, just to recap Minnesota being in the playoff hunt and getting it done.
Wow. I love your optimism. Bring that here to Minnesota. Yeah. I'll find mine again some point in time this year.
Listen, my optimism never dies.
No, it never does. Break my heart down there. In Leafs Nation 24/7.
I love it. Thanks so much, guys. This was a lot of fun.
No worries. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know what Offside Hockey Talk is. It's Offside Hockey Talk, where the Maple Leafs and hockey, and even sometimes Minnesota, come to talk.